Hallelujah. Got a little person with us here tonight. All right. Yeah. We're going to have to have a baby dedication before long. We keep this little critters keep coming. I like that. I like babies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All over your Bibles. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. We're going to do a little repeat, dig in some more things tonight. We're talking about enemies of your faith, or enemies to faith tonight. Enemies to faith. So there are some things that, you know, I just think we're limited often by our faith. I believe God is way bigger than what we give Him credit for, and I'm believing for big things. Amen. And we're just, you know, God is the God of the impossible, and the devil is going to try to convince you otherwise, that little bitty devil. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, New Living Translation says, "What fight the good fight of faith?" Do you know faith is a fight? Probably sit there going, yeah, it's a fight to get up and go to work in the morning. Or it's a fight just to do things sometimes, right? I mean, sometimes I feel like it's a fight just to get supper made, you know, or to do dishes or something, right? Because it's just like, why? Because your mind, will, and emotions is pulling you somewhere else. And it's a fight of faith just to continue, just to put one foot in front of the other and just say, I'm going to continue down this road. It's a fight of faith. And where does the devil want to attack you the most? It is your thinking. Your mind is where he's going to attack you at. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So the first one is, we're going to, again, repeat from last week, just a kind of quick review. Failure to understand what it means to be a new creature in Christ. You will not feel like a new creature, right? You still get up in the morning. And, you know, you have to fight the alarm clock sometimes. And, you know, your flesh talks to you. And the devil's going to try to bring circumstances and feelings your way to convince you you're not born again, you're not saved. Right? They're just things you don't feel sometimes, but you do. You are something. Well, this might be kind of weird, but, you know, people are like, well, I just don't, you know, I don't get up in the morning and say, well, I don't feel like a man today. Women, you know, ladies, you probably don't get up and say, well, I don't feel like a lady today. It's like, you're born that way. There's no, you know, I don't go through those feelings. Now, some people may disagree. That's a whole other topic. We're not going to go down tonight. But, you know, it's like, why? Because you're born that way. And when you become, accept Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are now new creatures in Christ. It says this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. Faith has nothing to do with feelings. It has nothing to do with circumstances. We see, that's why it's good to read the Bible, because we see people who have impossible situations, impossible things that just do not seem rational. God does things. I was just watching the story of Moses the other day in the movie, and, you know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, let's talk, he thought he had gone the wrong way, right? Because when he had exiled Egypt, and of course, you know, he had gone to Midian, and his father-in-law was Jethro, was the high priest of Midian. And so there, when he came back, you know, I think he felt like he got turned around, and he's like, wait a minute here, I feel like we're, you know, when he was heading to the Red Sea, but God didn't make a mistake. See, it looked impossible. But again, God is not concerned. God does not care about the circumstances, because He'll redo the circumstances. He'll change. Everything is subject to change. This natural realm that we're in, it is only in transition. Remember that. It will change tomorrow. Because the news, you know, everything that, you ever watched the news, especially the last 4 years? What was bad yesterday is good today. And what's good, you know, today is bad tomorrow. And vice versa. Galatians 3:26 is, for in Christ you are sons of God through faith. what we call your righteousness, that's what the devil is going to fight the most. Number two, failure to understand our place in Christ. Romans 8:1. I'm going to kind of move through these quickly. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Now, I like Romans 8:1, and I like the beginning of that because it's very important. I'm going there now. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, that also lines up with John chapter 3 that says that we are not condemned if we believe, but we're condemned already if we don't believe. John 3:16, right? Third chapter of John. So we know that faith, either condemns us or it sets us free. Whether if we believe in Christ and we accept Him as Lord and Savior, we are free. Not because of what you've done, but because of what He's done. And we come back and we say things like, well, I'm just not worthy. What you're saying is, what Christ did at the cross isn't good enough. And it's really kind of a spit in His face. It's a slap in His face to say, well, I'm just not good enough. I just don't have the tools. You know, we are power-packed, especially if you're born again, and especially if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Kevin Zadi said one time he was on the Lord. He was on a deathbed, or actually he had a root canal or something happened, and he died on the, on the table there. Keep going to your dentist. There's something wrong. Putting a plug in back here. So, but something happened. He died, and the Lord showed him. He's like, now watch as you pray. He was talking about it's like atomic bombs going off when you pray in the Spirit. See, we don't see things sometimes that happens, but there's things going on behind the scenes in the spirit realm that God is doing. So again, failure to understand ourselves in Christ. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. What does condemnation mean? It means God is not holding your mistakes against you anymore. No condemnation. Condemnation means you're guilty and there's no out of it. Then he goes on, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. 1 John 3:2, you can write these scriptures down. And again, this is failure to understand our place in Christ. 1 John 3:2 says, but beloved, we are God's children now. And this is the ESV. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, where we go, we shall be like Him because He shall see Him as He is. What's that mean? On the other side, we're going to be like Him. We are like Him now. Now, we got this old flesh that we're dealing with, right? But on the other side, we're going to be like Him. The third one is failure to understand righteousness. This is just failure to understand your position with Christ, where we're at. You know, so many people that... I just think as Christians, we just put up with too much garbage. We just put up with too much stuff. We let the devil do things in our life. We don't stand up. We don't take our authority. And then it's like, I don't know what's happening. It's like, well, we got to stand up. We got to take authority over the enemy. We got to stand our ground. We've got to stand up and claim what is ours. But, well, that just seems kind of selfish, you know. Well, I believe this. If we don't claim and walk in what the Lord has provided for us, then what good is it, right? It's like having a bank account with all kinds of money and you never access it. I remember one time I was banking, and this guy came in and he was homeless and I was standing back there because sometimes I, you know, help with different things or kind of oversee things. I kind of walk back there and so I was standing there. He's pulling up his account. He's like, yeah, I want to take $20. And I looked at his account and I'm like, okay, this picture just doesn't match, right? His bank account was... what he had, he lived under a bridge, but he had a lot of money in his account. And just told me, he's not accessing it at all. Got $20 out, and then he you know, took his bags and he had a cart and stuff, and he went, and I'm thinking, and instantly it hit, and I thought, this is like Christians. They've got all of this access to the goodness of God, and we're not accessing it. Here's this guy comes in. I mean, you know, you could tell. He had not bathed in long, long time. It was summertime, and whoop, you know, things get ripe in the summertime. People get ripe, you know. I know myself, I Yeah, mow grass and do things in the yard and start working and stuff. And don't stand downwind to me. I guess it's kind of smelly, right? And I thought, here's this guy. He could go buy a house, have all these things, new clothes, buy a decent car, all this money in the bank, and he chooses not to access it. And I thought, that is a lot of Christians. We are not accessing what God has provided for us in this. You myself convicted. I'm like, Lord, I need to step things up, right? I need to step things up in my own life. I'm like, you know what? I need to start believing for some other things. I mean, for myself, even just today, as praying, we were talking a little bit in prayer. I didn't share that much, but just believing God for a better building for this, for us. You know, and this has been a blessing. This has helped us. But a facility that we can have kids' church again and everything. And so again, just as a church, we need to expand our vision for the church again, right? Have a building. Have all of those needs met for the church, because not everybody's preaching, very few people, not a lot of people are preaching what we're preaching. And you ever notice that the people on TV, the charismatics and stuff, they don't come to Iowa? You ever notice that? You know, they don't come to Iowa. You know, my papa in the faith, Kenneth Hagin, and his dad didn't ever come to Iowa. There's a reason why, right? When's the last time Kenneth Copeland came by? Nada. Joyce Myers come here once. Adrian went there, and it was like hardly, you know, there were many people. So I'm just saying there's a lot of work to be done here, right? This message has got to get out. And I'm not interested in necessarily what denomination and who and this and that, but it's like what about digging into the Word and living according to what the Word has for us, right? Yeah. I'm striving to do better every day myself and dig into more things and receive things from God. But again, to understand righteousness, most of religion is about God is out here. He's just going to sprinkle us with a few crumbs if we're lucky. You know? And that is not what the Bible says. Well, he's putting sickness and disease on people. Well, find me one scripture where he put sickness and disease on people when Jesus walked here. He didn't. It didn't happen. All right? So we create things. Like we were just talking about, we got in this discussion the other night just about everything and all these people, just different people. They start creating things. Like, you know, from these other churches who were talking with the girls and some of their friends and just different things like that, and just people we know. And instead of just saying, okay, what does the Bible say about this? It's many people come back, well, I believe, and this is what we believe, and this is what my denomination teaches, and this is what my preacher says. It's like, wait a minute here. We got to have scripture for everything we stand on, right? If I don't have a scripture about things, I'm like, oh, it's up for interpretation, so you don't have to believe anything I have to say about that. That's why it's important to get into the Word and see, because the Word is going to set us free. It's the Word and the Spirit working together, just like Jesus at the well, the woman at the well. He said, what? The Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit together, working together. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'm going to stop there for a moment, and I'm just going to say something too. If you're not hearing from God, you're probably not spending time with him. Oh, could you pray about this? I'm happy to pray. We take prayer requests here, you know. But if we search the scripture, it says, if we live in the light, that means it's an active thing, right? If we're living in something, that means that we're walking in something. We're existing in it. That means our life is there. As God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. What does that mean? If we're walking in the light with him, we're going to have fellowship with him, and good things are going to happen. You know, just because we read stuff in the Bible, it doesn't mean it's going to happen, right? You know, it's so interesting. I can read other people's books like Donald Trump or, you know, other people. That doesn't mean I'm going to get wealthy, right? Well, you just do this and you just do this and you just do this and you just do this. And it's kind of fascinating to see people and like, well, you just, all the YouTube, remember all those commercials online, you know, if you do this, you'll get rich. You'll get this amount of money. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Are you gifted to do that? Did God call you? I mean, right? Just because somebody did that. First John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse of all unrighteousness. The fourth one is failure to understand our right to use the name of Jesus. This is awesome. Using the name of Jesus. The disciples, before Jesus even died, paid the price, redeemed us, they what? Used the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. John 16:23 and 24 says, at that time you won't ask anything, and at that time you won't need to ask me anything. I'm so used, this is New Living Translation, I'm so used to King James. You know, you ever get that? You're just like, wait a minute, I gotta read again. I can't. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. Now, why is he saying this? Because he's with the disciples. And let me just say this. If we're with Jesus, all you got to do is just say, hey, Jesus, we don't have money for taxes. Okay, well, go down there and go fishing, and you're going to get your taxes, right? Hey, Jesus, we don't have food for all these people here. We got to send them away so they can eat something. He goes, well, you give them something. What are you talking about? You know how much money it's going to cost for us to feed all these people? Okay, what do we got around here? You know, Jesus is going, how much lifting do I have to do around here, people? Right? So he's like, okay, this little boy, okay, that little guy's got some McDonald's over here. Bring it over here. Let's start breaking those cheeseburgers up, right? Well, they just go right to Jesus because he's standing right next to him. He's God incarnate. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us, right? And Jesus is saying, at that time, you're not going to ask me anything. Why? Because he's really saying, I'm not going to be around in the flesh here too much longer, and you're not going to come to me, but guess what? You're going to go to somebody else. And then what's he saying here? He says, I'll tell you the truth, you will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because what? You use my name. How many people are praying and they don't use the name of Jesus, right? Well, they're asking Jesus for something. Wait a minute. We're specifically told to go to the Father. And why is it important to use Jesus' name? Because of the covenant Jesus cut with God, the covenant was cut. We now have the same access that Jesus does. So we're just riding on the coattails of Jesus. Because he's paid the price. He's already taken care of everything. We're going to go to God in the name of Jesus. That's why it's important to have a fellowship with the Trinity. Because, you know, there's people out there, well, Jesus only. I'm sorry, but you didn't see God the Father in the Bible. You didn't see Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit and Jesus walking the earth. It's just weird. Yes, they're three in one. But there's three parts of the Godhead. And so Jesus is specifically saying, you know what? You got to go to the Father in my name. When you go, that's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What's the way? It's we can go to the Father and we can have what we believe for when we use Jesus' name. What we're saying is, God, I need this. And when we say in Jesus' name, we're saying, I'm reminding you of a covenant that I stand in, and it's because of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the power, but it also rings bell with the Father, and it says, oh, there's covenant there because of what his Son did. You have done this before, ask using my name, here we go, and you will receive and you will have abundant joy. Why are we going to have abundant joy? Because it's going to work. I mean, sometimes it's like Brother Hagin talks about, you know, it used to be, what was it? It's the Art of Prayer now, but it was like, I can't remember, I got one of the old original books that he had. It was like intercessory prayer, I think it was what it was originally called, something like that. But then they came back and said, you know, the title only talks about like one type of prayer, where the art of prayer goes into all of it. And so it's a really good book. You need to read it. When you read Brother Hagin and you read these things, sometimes it can come across like, well, that's kind of formulated, and that's kind of... No, because there's different types of prayer. And too many religious folks, they get into, well, just pray for me. What? What am I supposed to pray for you? What, to get cancer? Some people, they think that, you know, you get $1 million, look, I don't know, third arm will grow out? You didn't tell me. What we're not believing for. What does the Bible say? Make your request be known unto God. I mean, I say all this stuff because I spent so many years in a denominational church, and then you get in a denominational church, and I'm not downing denominational churches, but I'm just saying I was frustrated because I didn't know how to get out of my situation. You know, I didn't know how to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I didn't know anything. It was just people kind of experienced a few things, but there was no clear path scripturally and teaching on how to get these things. And that's where I was just... Then you get up there and then, you know, well, how many have a special unspoken request? And everybody had, I was like, how do you know if you got anything answered? Nobody asked anything, right? Nobody gave any testimonies about getting any prayers. I was like, why is my hand on a special unspoken and I got answered? I don't know what it was, but it got answered, right? If you know anything about business or anything else, what is the whole thing about business? What is anything about anything that you do? You got to track it. You got to measure things, right? How do you know you got something answered if you never asked for it? Right? Brother Hagin is so good because he's talking about, hey, you ask for this and you don't go around asking God multiple times. You go to the Father, just like we read here, in Jesus' name, you pray, you receive it, and you move on. And you thank God from there on. I think it was Lester Sumrall who said, if you prayed for something 8 times, you prayed 7 times out of faith. And that's true, right? Now, there's different types of prayer. There's a prayer of faith. That means you're believing for something. There's fellowshipping with God, right? There's praying in tongues. There's different functions of praying in tongues. There's public praying in tongues. There's private praying in tongues. You know, there's the prayer of consecration. You know, we come before God. Is it your will? Well, I don't need to ask God if it's his will for me to be saved or baptized in the Holy Spirit, because the Bible already tells me that. But the Bible doesn't tell me whether I'm supposed to go to Africa and be a missionary. That's where we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. I don't need to pray God's will if he heals me or not. No, Jesus said there in Acts 10:38 that he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, right? Oppression, sickness comes from the devil, and healing comes from God, right? The devil and God are not working together, winking at each other, you know, oh, I'll let you go here, I'll let you go there. It doesn't work that way. Too many people, well, you know, and they take Job, you know, they take this obscure, one of the oldest writings in the book, and they create all these doctrines on it. I'm sorry, but I don't take my doctrine. I mean, Job is interesting. There's some things to think about. It's like this. You don't listen to idiots. You walk with God and, you know, continue on. That's it. You have 3 friends that didn't know their, you know, head from a hole in the ground. And you got this whack job for a wife that, you know, is trying to get you to curse God and die, you know. And he just continued to do the right thing. No matter family, friends, everybody came against him, he still stuck with God, right? At the end, he got double. That's all I care about, right? I mean, at the end of it, he was good. Everything was restored to him. He was better than ever before, and that's great, right? And then they get into that first part where it's like, well, you know, the devil came to him and said, God said, well, he be considered Job. God didn't put a target on Job, right? God doesn't need to, because there's enough mess and junk in this world. Doesn't like God is going, I need to help the devil because Amy hasn't had enough problems this week, right? He's not doing that. He's not. And then people take a little scripture or a phrase and they twist it all out of context. And what happens is Jesus, the 4 Gospels are nothing but Jesus coming against the devil and destroying the works of the devil. And that's what Jesus, he came to destroy the works of the devil. And they are not playing, you know, footsie under the table just to play games with people and to be mean and cruel. God made the world perfect. That was his original design, and heaven is not full of games, like, you know, deception and everything, you know, bait and switch. It's all about he loves us and wants us to have good things, the end, and he wants to be with us. The devil is all about throwing monkey wrench into your life and causing problems, and we get entrust in him. So again, failing to understand our right when we use the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I've had some times too where I'll do things, I'll pray for things, and the devil is still coming back. And you know what? I have to stand my ground, and eventually he leaves. He's hard of hearing sometimes. He's not really the smartest. I mean, any idiot that would be in heaven have like this high position and then like give it up can't be real smart, right? I mean, you know, anybody that would choose to leave heaven, you got to have some massive problems going on upstairs, right? I mean, you know, perfect love, all your everything met, everybody, you know, love, everybody's getting together. But no, we've got to have brain damage and, you know, screw everything up for everybody. But Mark 16, 15 through 17, it says, and he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to everyone. Here we go. Anyone who was baptized, believes and is baptized, what will be saved? But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. So again, everybody, well, I just don't understand why God would send people to hell. You choose to go to hell because you don't believe. That's it. It's not hard. We're not building rockets here. Okay. You know, we're not working for Elon. We're not building the, you know, we're not working for SpaceX or whatever. You know, we're building these things. We just believe. That's it. I love the gospel because guess what? It is something that someone who has very limited understanding can just grasp, right? It just talks about in Acts, call on him, Lord, and you'll be saved. Easy. But you know what? The word can get so deep that, you know, some of the most intellectual minds have problems grasping it because it is so deep. The word of God can just boggle your mind, right? You know? There are just things on there like Cain, you know? God put a mark on him, right? What was the mark? You know? There's all kinds of speculation. There's just things we don't know. And, you know, what did Jesus write in the sand when the woman was caught in? Again, there's all of these things, right? We're going to get to heaven, and I'm going to ask Jesus, what was that? Oh, I don't care anymore. You know? So we're clouded, like the Apostle Paul says. We know in part and we see in part. Everything's like a cloudy mirror. Then it goes on, anyone who believes and baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Here you go. These signs will accompany those who believe. They will what? Cast out demons in my name. They will speak with new tongues. And you can go on from there. Why is that? Because of the name of Jesus. Because of the name of Jesus. Failure to act upon the word. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. I got this problem sometimes, and I'm the only one, right? I'm not throwing anybody else here into the bus. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Think about certain businesses. You know, if people would have bought in 2020 going into COVID and you didn't know that, kind of important to be led by the Holy Ghost, right? Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. I've learned this long that I can only see, like, right here. But God knows what's going to happen, you know, 5 years from now, all the other circumstances and what's happening. And that's why it's really important to be led by the Holy Spirit. Very important to be led by the Holy Spirit. First Corinthians 8:1. It says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we have knowledge, and knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. There's some of those people that, you know, I believe in education. I love education. I think it's great. But you know what? Sometimes I've been around some people that they just, you know, they get some education, they understand something, and they just, well, they know everything. I have the opposite thing. The more I learn, the more it's like, oh, wow, there's a lot of things I don't know. The more I learn, the more on the Word, the more I crack the Bible open, the more it's like, dear Lord, I feel stupid. There's so many, and I got so many other questions about the scripture I just read. I thought I had it figured out, but I don't. The last one here, I want to read a few scriptures, and we're going to get to is letting go of the foundations of faith. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, and it says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Now, here we go. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. See, we can talk about everything. We can, you know, we can go over this and everything else too. And if we're not going to actually do something about it or grow and mature in some things. Eight or nine, we went to church. And it was, we got married, went to church in Oskaloosa. And it was like, I started being the praise and worship band. And it was like, those people were annoying. You know, it was just, I had to get my flesh under control. I started hearing things, you know, like started getting teaching. And we started getting really good teaching. But, you know, sometimes it's like, you just got to get your flesh under control. And you know what? The Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. Right? My fuse is about like that with people sometimes, you know. Now it's like that. No, I'm kidding. I love all you guys and gals. But I had to grow, didn't I? I had to learn how to, you know, because I had, of course, played sports and, you know, got all of those other things. But, you know, sometimes when you're in a church setting or something, there's something about sometimes the devil likes to mess with people, you know. And that's where you got to be on guard. And you know, recognize, Paul says, recognize no man after the flesh, but after the spirit. And so I had a lot of growing to do. You know, I was a baby. I was just, you know, I'd been in church so long, but it was kind of like there was no accountability. There was nothing, you know, nobody really did anything. And at the end of the day, you just kind of go and come when you want. And nobody really, you know, grew and developed or anything. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repentance or repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instructions about baptism, laying on of hands, and resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. I want to stop there for a moment. Now, it's interesting that, and we'll just for argument's sake, let's say Paul wrote this. There's people that argue back. I don't know. Whoever wrote it. It was the Holy Ghost. It came from the Holy Ghost is all we know, right? Now, whose hand it physically came through. But you notice how he's talking about we need to have these things down. And there's so many people that don't have this down. Because he's talking about, now this is just like baby stuff. I mean, we're talking about things like, you know, the fundamentals of just repenting from evil deeds. How many people, you know, it's amazing how many of these ministers and stuff that are in some of these churches that are just perverts and whack jobs. I mean, they are just some perverted freaks out there, you know, that are just doing stuff. And, you know, and I can't believe that even, you know, they're even allowed to. But see, that's the thing. We've got people that claim to be like a minister or really mature Christians, and they don't even have this down. And the Apostle Paul is talking about, you know what? You should have this stuff down. We don't need to be going back over this again. And we got people that are, you know, ministers that are gay and they're trans and they're, you know, and then they're drag queens on the side and everything. Oh, I think I'm going to do a drag queen ministry. Y'all okay with that right now? But I was watching this minister and he's talking about, you know, he's gay and he's trans and then he's got his religious robe and all this, you know, all the stuff on and everything. And then he's talking about he's still coming up under the trans name. And it's like, wait a minute here. These are evil deeds. The Bible is clearly, very clear about multiple times. Jesus talks about it, Old Testament. We see New Testament all over the place. And we can't get this figured out. That's disgusting. I'm sorry. And I don't want to be that person on Judgment Day. I told Adrian all the time, I'm like, I am scared of that to get up here and talk about things and not use, you know, not focus on the Bible because, you know, I'm going to be judged someday because I want all of you to learn and do the right thing for God, right? And really, it's me helping you connect with God. That's the main thing. Because at the end of the day, when you take your last breath, I want you to step on the other side and Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and enter the joy of the Lord, right? I just want to be together with you on the other side, right? Sometimes we need to step on toes and talk about things, but, you know, when people are, you know, again, we're not even, it says repenting from evil deeds. I mean, I get convicted sometimes if I say something, and I'm like the other day, I was at work or something, I'm like, oh, I hope it wasn't rude to them. You know, I was like, that bothers me, you know? And then, you know, if I'm, or even I'm just, you know, the whole drinking thing, what have you, it's like, I don't want anything to do with that because I don't want to hurt somebody else in the process. And then it goes on and it says, and placing faith in God. You know, people don't even place faith in God, right? Or let's say you need further instructions about baptism. Oh, I could camp out here for a long time. Most people, I mean, you got all these Christians, all they're talking about is two baptisms. Baptism of the Christ, which is being born again, and baptized with water. And then you get people fighting over baptism of the water. And then you get people fighting over, well, are you going to say, you know, I baptized you in the name of Jesus, or is it the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? And I mean, we don't have a grasp on that. There's baptism in the body of Christ, that's being born again. Baptism, John's baptism. Then we have baptism of the water. We have baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have all these baptisms. And this, and Apostle Paul saying that this stuff should just be like you know it. And so we got churches that they wink at perversion and evil deeds. And then we can't figure out baptisms, right? And then we've got people laying on of hands, right? Well, can you pray for me that I, you know, healing? Do you know what laying on of hands is? We lay hands on people to cast out demons, right? We lay hands on people often when they get born again, we can pray for them. We lay hands on people to be healed. We lay hands on people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts, chapter 6, chapter 8, chapter 10, and chapter 12. On and on and on. We got all of these ministries of laying. There's a plethora of laying on of hands, but nobody does it. Right? See, we're missing out because we don't understand. This is Apostle Paul says, these are just the basic simple things. And most people don't even have a clue. And I'm sitting there going... Then we go on and it says laying on my hands and the resurrection of the dead. If we don't believe the resurrection of the dead, we don't have any business being here tonight. Because that's the whole point. When we die, we're with Jesus in heaven. If you don't believe in that, if you're like the Sadducees and they didn't believe in it and they were like talking to Jesus about like, well, you know, if this guy has 12, you know, seven different wives and the first one dies and blah, 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 and then they get to heaven and which husband is hers? And he's like, okay, this is a joke because you don't even believe in the resurrection of the dead. How many denominations out there, and again, how many denominations don't believe in the resurrection of the dead? Well, then guess what? If we're just going to go up in a puff of smoke, baby, I'm going to live it up in the flesh tonight because it doesn't matter. There is no purpose for life anymore. But again, many people, we can't even get this basic teaching. We can't even get this basic concept down. We're going to argue about things. Well, God doesn't send people to hell, and you know, like the Seventh-day Adventists. We're just going to go up in a puff of smoke, and when we die, nothing happens. Well, that's interesting, because when you die, you lose 10 pounds at death. So that tells me that there is something physical about the spirit. When you lose 10 pounds instantly when you die, there's something physical. There's some kind of mass here with the spirit, with our spirit, right? Are you bored tonight? Let's go on. And eternal judgment. Oh, baby, I love this one too. Because if there's no eternal judgment, then that eliminates a lot of our motivation to live right. And we go back to the once saved, always saved. And I'm telling you, I got loaded. We don't have time to go there tonight. We're going to get more into it next week. But I'm saying is, if we don't have eternal judgment, now I'm not motivated by eternal judgment to live for God or not. I love Him. I'm going to do it regardless. I mean, I love God. I love Jesus. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be with Him. That's it. I mean, I just want to be with the Lord. I love Him. He's wonderful. But if we can't get eternal judgment down, again, Paul is talking about, why do we need to come back and talk about these things? We should have this all down by now. We keep coming back to these things. Eternal judgment. If there's no eternal judgment, that's one of the biggest lies the devil is going to come to you and say there's no eternal judgment. Because if there's no consequences, you can do what you want. And this is one of the reasons that, again, many people are letting go of the faith because there's no motivation. There's no understanding. Think about it. Resurrection from the dead. If you don't believe in resurrection from the dead, what are we doing here? I'm just a stick of celery tonight, baby. I'm a head of cabbage, and that's it. And that's, you know, and now you know what that takes you to? That takes you down to a demonic road of depression because you have no value. And there is nothing to look forward to after this life. And that will send you into a depression, right? And your life consists of your 401k or your retirement and just living it up, baby, until you check out. And there's no motivation to live for God. And that's why we're seeing Paul here talking about, again, let's look at the basics of teaching again and again. Like, why are we doing this? Let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again, he says. Let us go on instead and become mature in understanding, right? So we shouldn't be debating over these things. We shouldn't be questioning these things. There's things as believers, we're going to say, I already believe that. That's done and settled. And deception comes in when we start taking things up. And the Apostle Paul is really saying, you're having deception in life because you're beginning to question those or pick them back up, the things that we've already settled on, right? I mean, that's what life is now all about. You know, I mean, every day, I mean, every time they always come up with something, well, this is bad for you, and this is bad for you, and this is bad. This is good for you, and this is bad for you, and this is bad for you, right? You know, then you got people and it's like, well, you know, we want to put, you know, fluoride in water and that's good for you. And well, the Nazis put fluoride in the water for the Jews. But again, we're picking basic things up and say, this isn't healthy for me. And we come up and we begin to question those things in our life, right? What do you think, you know, for example, like things with marriage problems and everything. What's one of the things for that? It's like, well, you know what? Does this person really make me happy? See, you're questioning the thing that you already committed on when you walk down the aisle, right? And that's where the Apostle Paul is sitting there going, you know, you've already committed to these teachings. You've already understood it. You're picking this stuff back up. You're questioning it again, and you're having problems in your faith because now you're questioning it. That's nobody here, though, right? Some other folks up the road. But it's affecting our faith because anytime the Bible talks about there in James, wavering. Remember that? Tossed to and fro like the waves of the sea. One day we're here, one here, we're here, we're here. I'm committed to Jesus is the way. I don't care what the pipeline says. I don't care what the news says. I don't care what MSN or CNN or Fox News or anybody else that this is cute and pervert, you know, this pervert thing, because everything is a slippery slope to take us farther down the road, right? It's like the whole thing is about, you know, it's about gays, and then that's okay, and that's cute, and that's wonderful, and the next thing is going to be polygamy, and guess what? They're trying to do that too. And then it's other things I don't even want to talk about. It's just, it's a slippery slope, we're seeing in this scripture here that you start letting go of, well, is there really eternal judgment? And then you start questioning the Christ. Is Jesus really the Son of God? And you go through all of these things and your faith is off. Because why? Because you're picking up those things and questioning those things, right? How many people are going, you know, like me, I don't question every day, like, am I a male or a female? Am I a female in a male's body and everything? You see, I'm picking something up that should be subtle. And I'm bringing confusion to something that I shouldn't be asking questions on anymore. See, is 2 plus 2, 4? I mean, that's ridiculous, right? That should have been settled, you know, where I went to school, 9th grade. But no. Okay. That's fine. I made it through public school. I made it. So anyway. Yes, I went to public school. So some of you did too. So all right, we made it. Yeah. We're cool. All right. Check us out, world. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you tonight. These people are God, they're precious people. Lord, we love them tonight. And we just thank you, Lord, that we're going to hold on to those things. Hold on to our faith tonight, Lord God. We're going to be settled in those things of the Word of God. We're going to fight the good fight of faith tonight. Hallelujah. The Lord, there's only pleasure and blessings, and it's worth it to the end. Lord God, he who endures until the end shall be saved. And that's every person here. We proclaim it tonight. We're in it to win it. Lord God, we as WOC family, church family tonight, Lord God, I pray for every person here in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. They're going to finish their race with joy. We are not going to let go of the truths of God tonight or your sonship tonight, Jesus. But we praise you and we thank you in the name of Jesus that everyone here is encouraged and blessed because of your sacrifice and the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a great week.